From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome to Cairo Nights. Thank you guys so much for listening to the show. I am Jake Skorheim, your host. Thank you guys for tuning in. There's like a million things you guys could be doing right now. Maybe not a million, actually, but at least there's a couple of dozen other things that you could be doing. But you're choosing to spend your time with us. That means a lot to me. I thank you for joining us. It's going to be a good show tonight. If you are new and you've never listened to the show before,
welcome to the party, pal.
Welcome to the party. It's going to be a fun show. Actually, we have a lot of stuff to talk about, a lot of stuff to get to. So first off, do me a favor. If you haven't, like if you don't plan on being able to listen to the entire show, I totally get it. I understand you're busy. You got a lot of stuff to get to. Do I wish that you listen to every second of the show? Yes, of course. But if you can't and you anticipate that you're going to have to tune out at some point, get the podcast. It's really easy to get. Look up Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim. Get it on Apple and get it on Spotify, all the different places you might get a podcast. Only this one's really, really good. It's not that all, not like all those other bad podcasts out there. This one's really, really good. I promise you're going to enjoy it. If you like this show, then I promise you're going to enjoy the podcast. Oh, yeah, that's right. I was going to tell you guys something. All right, this happened to me on my way in. I found this very confusing. Do you guys ever deal with what are they called? They're called like road rage incidents. Do you guys ever deal with road rage incidents? In just a minute, we're actually going to be talking about in Washington State, we have some of the worst distracted driving in the state. In the country. I think we just have some of the worst distracted driving, just the worst driving in general out there on the roads. And I think I know why that is. All right, here's the reason why I think we have horrible drivers, and then I'm going to tell you this ridiculous thing that happened to me on my way into work today. I think the reason that we have such horrible drivers is because in their normal everyday life, when they're not inside a vehicle, I think people tend to be, how do I put this kindly? In this region, not everywhere. Like, you don't see this problem in Boston. You don't see this problem on the East Coast because people on the East Coast are very, very kind of in your face and aggressive in like a different way that's not likable. But in Washington, we do something else. Like, especially in the Seattle area, we have something called passive aggressiveness. You guys know what I'm talking about. We are very passive aggressive people here in the city of Seattle. Now, I don't live in Seattle, so I wouldn't categorize myself as passive aggressive. Although, can I hold a grudge against somebody? And will I just treat them differently silently for long? If that's what passive aggressive is, if passive aggressive is me acting differently towards you without actually having to do anything like and stand up to you, then fine, call me passive aggressive. No, that's exactly what passive aggressive is. Okay, so we have very passive aggressive people here in Washington State, in the Seattle area. I think we try to avoid confrontation as much as possible. I think that's just something that's like kind of like baked into Seattleites' DNA. They don't want to actually have to exchange words with people. Oftentimes, they just don't want to have to talk to another human being. So the idea of actually having to approach them with the uncomfortable conversation of like, hey, you've wronged me in this way, or can you, I need you to make amends, or I'd like to make amends. Those things just don't happen very much here. It's just like, it's just how we are, for better or for worse. Actually, I think it's for worse. I think it'd be good to like kind of exercise some of those thoughts and get those out there and then move past it, right? Put stuff in the past and then be just like, deal with it and be done. Anybody who's ever gone to therapy, I'm sure that's one of the things. It's like you need to get some of these things off your chest and move on. All right, so I'm on the road today. I'm driving in. I don't even know what my crime was against this person, what my perceived crime was. I can tell you I'm a very good driver, and I am very much aware of the road around me. And I don't think I did anything wrong. In fact, I was driving. I usually drive about 5 miles an hour over the speed limit. I mean, like I drive with the speed of traffic. Unless I'm really behind and I need to get somewhere, I'm known to put a lead foot on the gas pedal. I'm not against that, but I'm never unsafe. I'm a very, very safe driver. I haven't had an accident never had a real accident in my entire life. Actually, I think I've maybe gotten like 2 or 3 speeding tickets right when I was a fresh baby driver. But now that I'm an adult and now that I've been driving for, almost 25 years, I'm a good driver. And so I don't think I did anything wrong. So I'm on I-5. I'm heading south. I'm heading towards, I live up in Snohomish County. I'm driving down to the station here earlier today. And I notice that this driver behind me in a Prius, of course. It's always a Prius. I don't know why it is. It's always a Prius. This driver who's driving behind me in a Prius is very animated. And, you know, and the only reason I know this actually proves that I'm a good driver. I'm checking my blind spots all the time. I'm checking in the rearview mirror. I'm checking in the, you know, side mirrors. So this person is like quite clearly focused on me. And they are cursing me out. Again, I don't know what I did to this person. The only thing that I can even think is that they wanted to be where I was in the road. Again, I drive in off-traffic time, so there's not even a reason this person needs to be freaking out. They could just drive past me. So, and this is great. I actually, like, really love this. And I don't know if this is, like, an older brother thing, but when you're young and you have younger siblings, what you learn to do is you can actually, like, kind of tweak their anger by pretending that you don't care at all or even notice what they're doing. This is a very mean older brother trick. And you can really get under the skin of people that you are trying to get under the skin of if you just pretend like whatever they're freaking out about doesn't affect you in the least and you couldn't care less. So like a friendly wave, if you notice a person looking over at you, if you give them like, sometimes I'll give them a little like salutation, almost like a little half salute, like, oh, hey, like easily a nod. I'll happily nod at them, always with a smile, always with a nice face. And this just tweaks them in just such a way that they're not happy. And I don't know. I feel like there's a little comeuppance that they need to get when they are freaking out on the road. Because I just don't think you should be freaking out on the road. Anyway, so they're driving behind me. Then what they decide to do is they violently turn into the next lane so that they can pull past me. But they're not like really, really breaking the speed limit here. Again, very passive aggressive. They're not actually like doing an aggressive thing, which I don't think I would recommend, but like an aggressive way to deal with this situation would be to pull off to one, either my right or my left side in one of the lanes beside me. I'm in the middle lane at this point because I'm not a left lane camper. I'm not one of those people who's going to do that either. But I'm driving in the correct, appropriate lane. I'm going 5 miles an hour over. There's no traffic around me. The road is wide open. All this person has to do is step on their gas pedal slightly and move forward. And be done with me. Put me in their rearview mirror. That's what they could do. That's what I would have recommended. What did they do? They slowly drive beside me for miles and miles and miles, never looking at me at all or making eye contact. But I know for a fact they're sitting there heavily focused on my presence to their left. So they pull out on the right side. I'm expecting them to like eventually pull away, but they don't. They just drive beside me for a really long time. So eventually I just forget about it and whatever. They then get off at the same exit that I'm getting off at down here in Seattle. And now it's awkward because we've now been driving next to each other. They were heavily cursing me out on the road for like, I don't know, we were driving beside each other for like 10, 15 minutes. They were pacing me, driving the exact speed limit as me. I don't know why they were doing this bizarre behavior. And then we get off at the the turn lane. We get off the road, the exit ramp. That's what I'm looking for, exit ramp. And we get to a light. Now, the light that I arrive at, you can either go straight towards where I was going, or you can get into the left lane and you can turn left and you can head up towards Capitol Hill, which is where this Prius was going. So we are now side by side. We've now switched sides. Now I'm on the right and they're on the left. We've switched sides. We're both at this waiting at this stop light. And this is when they take their opportunity because they know like our two roads are, you know, unlikely to pass again. And so this is their last chance to really stick it to me in a passive aggressive way. So they look over at me, glaring at me. Now they don't point, they don't do anything aggressive other than just stare, passive aggressive. And they're staring at me and I look, and you can, you know, you can feel when somebody's looking at you, you can just feel their eyes on you. I turn my head to the left. We meet eyes and they hold it. This is the most, I mean, I was actually kind of proud of them at this point because they had not shown this type of backbone the entire time. Now I'm proud of them. They hold the gaze for about 3 seconds. And then I notice, but they don't notice that their light has turned green because now they're staring at me. And I'm kind of pointing at their light. I'm pointing up now at their light. Now I'm just trying to just like help them out, be a nice guy. And they don't pay any attention to my pointing. They just stare at me, keep staring. This is getting weird now. This bike, they're probably there like 5-6 seconds now, past when the light has turned green. That is a long time to sit at a green light. So much so that the person behind them, instant karma, starts laying on the horn. I'm telling you what, there's just not a whole lot of moments in life where instant comeuppance or instant karma, you're watching as somebody else is getting it. And again, I don't know what my offense was to them on the road. If they're listening, I hope that they enjoy the show. I really do. And I hope that they understand, I don't know what I did to wrong you. I really don't. But I hope that you can get past it. And I'm also kind of glad, it kind of made me happy to see this person get honked at. Made me, and the look on their face when they got honked at, instantly they were like, oh shoot. And then they had to move. And that's the last I saw of them. And then the green Prius faded off as if it never was there. All right. Distracted driving. That's a perfect segue into distracted driving. AAA of Washington has said that Washington is one of the worst states for distracted driving. How could this possibly be? All right. Well, this is what they found out. While cell phones appear to be the biggest distraction for teenage drivers, according to AAA's Laura Ray, said that the biggest distractor is, it's not cell phones, it's friends in the car with teenagers. AAA Washington research, as a quote, found that when teens are only driving with other teens in the car, and again, that's anyone under the age of 20, that if they get into a crash, and this is a horrifying and scary number, if they get into a crash, that the rate of fatality for everyone involved increases by 51%. So teens, don't drive with other teenagers. Parents, don't let your kids drive with other teenagers. I think they actually have a law on that, about that in Washington State anyway. Some sort of a graduated driving where you can get your license at 16, but you're not allowed to drive with any other teenagers in the car who are not family members for a specified amount of time. I don't know what that amount of time is. Like maybe like 6 months, 18 months. I don't know what it is. We're going to talk with Mickey Gomez. She actually wrote this article. She's done some research into this. She can answer all of these questions that I have about distracted driving, answer all these questions for us, and she's going to teach us a lot about distracted driving. We're going to talk to her next, so stick around for that. All right, this was really funny. This reminded me of something that happened a little closer to home. Down in San Francisco, they have just unveiled some very controversial toilets. Now, how could a toilet be controversial? Well, back in 2022, NBC News did a story on these proposed toilets that San Francisco is about to build. The price tag was insane. Listen to this.
Noe Valley Town Square turned out to be a perfect spot to soak in the sun on this unusually warm day. But the city's price tag to build a 150-square-foot public restroom at the corner of the park is getting quite a few people a little heated.
That's crazy. It's just sort of an artifact of everything that's going crazy in the city. How can it possibly be $1.7 million?
There was actually supposed to be an announcement by state and local public officials here today proclaiming their success in securing the funding from the state.
$1.7 million. Can you imagine? I know you can, because we did something like that here in Washington. In fact, in Seattle, we had our own million-dollar toilets, which ended up being a disaster, obviously, as many things are when the government spends a ton of money on them. I'm going to tell you about that in just a second, but I want to finish the story in San Francisco. San Francisco actually corrected their problem, but let's first get back to the $1.7 million toilets. Then I'll tell you about the great unveiling that they had today, which was very exciting if you're in San Francisco.
But they abruptly canceled it once word of the price tag got out.
Several people were hoping to attend the press conference and ask about the cost because everybody is amazed.
And it sounds so fishy. And given that they were going to announce it here today and they just bailed, it just so suspicious.
The only elected official who has responded to any of our questions about the project and the price tag is Assemblymember Matt Haney. He was able to get the $1.7 million from Sacramento, but he didn't want to speak on camera. Instead, he sent this message. I'll defer questions about the cost for the bathroom to Rec and Park. The cost also seemed shockingly high to me. They told me they couldn't build it for less, so if I wanted a public bathroom there, that's how much I had to deliver. We reached out to Rec and Park for a breakdown of costs. They have not responded.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, so CBS was there yesterday as they unveiled, finally, they unveiled these public water closets. They did not end up costing $1.7 million because obviously that's ridiculous. And if you want a descriptor of these bathrooms, just like go into any public restroom at any park we have here locally in Seattle, and you will see exactly what they look like. It's like very bare bones. There's a toilet. There's a baby changing station. There's like metal faucets so that people can't break them. And there's like just there's no extras. So I don't know how on earth they had planned on spending so much. They didn't spend nearly $1.7 million. CBS was there yesterday for the grand unveiling of this new public toilet. And the grand total, I'll tell you that in just a second. But here's CBS. They actually had a party. They had a jazz band. They love toilets there in San Francisco.
It's a celebration fit for the most infamous toilet, one that almost cost the price of a house.
Noe Valley, let's hear it for our not $1.7 million bathroom.
Woo-hoo! So event organizers decided to have some fun with it. Everything toilet themed. Even this band renamed to American Standard, at least for the day.
We couldn't get Toto here, so.
Leslie Crawford organized a toilet bowl celebration at Noe Valley Town Square.
When everybody laughs at you, you got to take the power back and laugh at yourself.
That's true. You do have to take the power back and laugh at yourself. So one thing that's nice here is that San Francisco is kind of a crazy place, but still, even San Francisco realized $1.7 million for a toilet. Insane. Not a good thing. So they got the price down and they built this toilet. Again, it's like no luxury in it. It's not nice at all. It just looks like a regular toilet. Appropriately, it's what a public restroom should look like. There shouldn't be a lot of frills to it. There's two things that you're doing in a public restroom, so it doesn't need to cost a lot of money. $200,000 is what it ended up costing, which when you actually think about it, like $200,000, very expensive still. I wouldn't spend $200,000 on a toilet, and if I did, I could make a lot nicer one than they, you know, put here. But it is a public restroom. They saved $1.5 million that they had originally planned on spending on this toilet. So I think this is a win for those folks down in Noe Valley. Well done, Noe Valley folks. Enjoy your bathroom party. All right, so how does this compare here locally? Back in, what was this? I think this is maybe in 2009, 10, 11, 12-ish. Seattle bought $5 million toilets. Not $5 million toilets. They bought five toilets that are going to cost $1 million each for a grand total of, if you could do that math, $5 million for five toilets. Really, really expensive. So what these toilets, what they were selling these toilets as, they actually put these in five different locations. They had it like Seattle Center, all these different spots. What they were trying to do is these were self-cleaning toilets. And the idea that they would cost $1 million, they were like, well, yeah, it costs $1 million, but we never have to clean them. Because they're self-cleaning, which obviously anybody knows, you put a new technology and you still need somebody to maintain the technology. So the maintenance for these was probably going to be pretty close to what a normal toilet would cost to maintain. But a normal toilet doesn't cost $1 million. So this was a bad deal. It ended up being a further bad deal, if people don't remember, because very, very quickly, these public cleaning toilets stopped cleaning themselves. They broke. They were actually just like spreading germs and all these disgusting things all over the toilet seat. They had this automatic wiping thing that was supposed to wipe the seat. It was just gross. And it was just like pulling urine and all the other things that you might find in a public toilet, just like dragging it all over the places. It was really, really gross. And then on top of that, they quickly became dens of prostitution and drug hovels. And just, it was a bad deal. So Seattle got rid of them. Then they were forced to try to sell them. Nobody wanted them. So they put them up on eBay. And the grand total that they ended up getting for these toilets, I think around $12,000 for five toilets. So a pretty big loss. From $5 million down to $12,000, but at least they got rid of them. All right, we got a lot more coming up on the show. We will be right back here on Cairo Nights.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. I want to talk to you guys about something very important. You might even be experiencing this right now if you're listening and driving in your car, although I hope you're not and you're being safe. Just actually don't pull out your phones. Don't do any of that. Just listen to the calming, soothing sounds of my voice as we tell you what horrible drivers are surrounding you right now. Mickey Gomez joins us right now. Mickey, welcome to the show.
Happy to be here.
All right, you have an article on MyNorthwest.com that the headline jumped out at me. What's the headline of this article?
Yeah, so AAA, Washington is one of the worst states for distracted driving.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, so that, as soon as I read that, it was like kind of a confirmation bias. I just assumed that that was the case because I really feel like every time I'm driving down the road here, every time I look in somebody else's car, I see them on their phones. Like, you know, it catches your eye. Do you see this all the time?
Yes. Guilty party of one.
Oh, no. You do this?
Yeah. I didn't know. Jake, I didn't know that I do it as often as my kids have pointed out.
Kids are good. They
my kids in the back. Mom,
everything.
Get off your phone. Mom. Yeah. And I'm like, I need direction. Give me the phone. So, I'm like, okay, here you go.
So was this a study that AAA was doing?
Yeah, just, so listen.
How did they come up with these numbers?
So AAA Washington research found that when teens are driving with other teens in the car, and that could be anyone 20 and under, if they get into a crash, the rate of fatality for everyone involved increases by 51%.
What?
Yeah. That is the data, and that is jarring. And as a mom of a teen,
increases by 51% if they were on their phones?
No, just increase. No, the danger for teens driving is other teens in the car with them.
Got it. Got it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you may not even be distracted as the driver. You might just have other people on their phones in the car, and that's mm-hmm. distracting to a driver?
Yeah, especially a teen driver, because they don't have a lot of experience driving.
Yeah, they don't know how to like block stuff out and mm-hmm. just focus on the road.
Or for you and me, dancing, it's second nature. Changing the song, or they're changing the station, or one of their friends is like, look at this video, or speeding, or running a red light, just being distracted.
You know, the scary thing about this mm-hmm. as a parent, and you're a lot closer to dealing with this than I am. You have teenage kids now, right?
I do.
Do either of your kids drive yet?
My 16-year-old is about to start driver school, and we've talked a lot about...
Yeah, how are you going to deal with that?
With a lot of medication. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know, Jake. I really don't know. I've got what I call the tank, which is my Jeep, right? We drive a Jeep, but I feel like our Jeep is pretty safe. For him, however, we're not going to allow him to get on highways. He's not allowed to have any other passengers, only his sister.
And that's a rule, too,
that,
I believe,
that
right?
That is a law,
That's
actually.
A law. They can't have... And what is that law? You'd probably be more familiar
with
it. So
the law is that teen drivers aren't allowed to have any other teen passengers in the car with them.
Who
are not family. Correct. And so we're only allowing our son to drive in our neighborhood, even though he'll have a license. It's only in the Burien, Normandy Park, Kent, Des Moines area.
Yeah.
When he's older, then we'll experience I-5, 509.
I think that's a great idea.
405. For now, it's just school, work,
when he's
home.
By himself. You guys can take right. him around and train him. You can get on freeways like you have to
Absolutely.
Do when you're training
but
to drive.
Absolutely, but when he's older.
Yeah.
I'm worried about him only because I'm a mom by nature. The kid is very responsible. He keeps a clean room.
Great.
He does the dishes. He does his laundry. But... same time, he's still a teen. He's not equipped to make those quick and fast judgments that you and I can make when we're driving and we avoid an accident.
Essentially, we're experts. We've been doing, I've been driving for 25 years.
Yeah.
And so I've got a lot of time behind the wheel.
Yeah.
I've seen every situation. I've driven every different kind of vehicle. And so, you get more comfortable doing it.
Even Mount Rainier is a distraction. Yesterday, I was driving home. The sun is out. That means the mountain is out. As soon as I'm on I-5 southbound and I get to Michigan Street, Corson Ave, boom, there's Mount Rainier. I'm looking at Mount Rainier. I'm not looking at traffic. But when I look back at the road and I only took my eyes off for a couple of seconds.
That's all it takes.
Boom, traffic is already backed up. People are stopping and I have to hit my brake.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if I were a teen driver and I wasn't paying attention?
No, and it scares the heck out of me. Like I was kind of hoping, mm-hmm. and I don't know if this is going to be the case. I mean, my oldest kid is only 9 years old, so I've got a few years left. But I was kind of hoping that by the time that they started driving, we would just be in driverless cars.
Okay.
And that we would all be just like, okay, you're ready to go to the store. You're going to go to a friend's house. You just type it into your phone and it takes you there. And you essentially sit in the back seat in a protective bubble. But that's not realistic. That's not the world we're going to live in.
I mean, they already have cars that do that. Waymo has cars that do that for us right now, but they're still.
It's not the world I actually want, though. Do I actually want cars to be driving us everywhere?
No.
Because I remember that feeling when I was a teenager of getting behind the wheel for the first time, the freedom that I felt.
Yeah.
Even in my crappy car. What was your first car, by the way?
Oh, my gosh. A Dodge Omni.
What is it? What is it? Even is a Dodge Omni?
They don't make them anymore.
Is that a four-wheel? I assume it's got four wheels.
It had four wheels, two doors. It was one of those teeny tiny cars made by Dodge. My car payment was $100 a month.
Sweet.
And I would drive it to and from school and work. And it was, I paid for my own car. I paid for my own insurance.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
You did back in the day.
Yeah. So listen, AAA is asking, I have to say this before we wrap this up, because, I think it's important for parents and for teens. AAA is asking for parents and teens to take the pledge. It's an online platform with Safe Drive Club. It's to encourage drivers to promise not to drive distracted. And my son and I are going to be joining because I just think it's a good practice, right? And I want my son to feel confident when he's behind the wheel.
Yes.
And I want to worry less.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to happen, but...
You know what? phones these days, yeah, they automatically know when you're driving, so they can you can turn the safe driving on, make sure that every time you start moving, safe driving kicks on. You don't get text messages, you don't get calls, you don't get nothing. So I think that's a huge help for kids.
I'm going to download that app for myself.
And just, if you got an iPhone, it's already in your phone, built in. All you got to do is like switch it on. And then it's just about training your kids to, you know, really remind them, like, it's horrible to have to subject your kids to like fear and stuff, but to show them like, listen, distracted driving, people die every single day, especially, and it's usually people who are young.
And I report it, you know, modeling, good parental modeling is so important, and I've got to get better at it. My kids are calling me out. I'm listening. I'm putting my phone away and I'm driving and I'm paying more attention now.
I have to say really fast, this is an awkward segue, but very, very quickly, my first car was a maroon Jeep Cherokee with gold rims, which was like not cool back in the day. But to me, it was like, oh my gosh, I'm driving a magic carpet. Like, you know, like the feeling of your Dodge,
yes,
Omni. You're driving around, you're just like, this is a magic machine. And you know what? Like, I count myself fortunate now that I did not have all the technology available to me that kids have these at their fingertips. I mean, these are super distractors for kids. So yeah, that scares the crap out of me as I look down the road and see that I have four boys. You know, I'm a father of four boys now, and someday all those kids are going to be driving cars, and I'm going to need to make sure that they are safe. When I was a kid, my windows, I don't even think my windows like successfully rolled up and down. I mean, I guarantee you on one side of my car, passengers on the passenger side of my car, they were not going to be able to use the windows. That's just not technology that I had at the time, because it was originally supposed to be electric, but somewhere along the line, that car just started breaking down, falling apart. So I could get my window up and down halfway, and that's all you really needed. All right, that's Mickey Gomez. Thank you so much for coming in. If you want to, check out the article on mynorthwest.com. You can see all the stuff there, the AAA, all the good info there. And please be safe. Be a safe person when you're out there driving. All right, we got a lot more coming up on the show. Stick around. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. All right, we've been talking a lot about all the stuff that's happening on all the different college campuses out there. There's all these Free Palestine protesters who are taking over college campuses. One of the most notable ones was Columbia University today announced that they are actually just canceling all in-person school activities. Think about that. What is the average cost of an education cost right now at Columbia? I think it's like $70,000 per year. And if you are a parent who is paying 70 grand per year for your kid to attend this Ivy League school, and you get a note that says, hey, by the way, we are not going to have any more in-person school available for your child, they can learn from home on Zoom or however they're going to do it going forward. That to me would drive me absolutely nuts. And the other thing that I would be very upset about if I were one of these parents who's, you know, sending my kid to these Ivy League schools, which students work really hard to get into. They work really, really hard to get into these schools. And it's very, very expensive, as I've just mentioned. And now you have the school canceling all school for all students because they cannot get into control these students who have taken over the school. They're in the main quad there. They're taking over the school. They are shouting anti-Semitic things. It is horrible. We're actually going to talk to Jason Rance about this a little bit later in the show. He's been following the story. He's been following how it's happening here locally as well. And not at the school here locally per se, but there have been protests here locally. So we're going to talk to him about that in the 8:30. So stick around for that. But all of that to lead into poor Alec Baldwin. Alec Baldwin, I don't know how he ties into this, but listen to this. He was in this coffee shop, and one of these protesters came up to him with a cell phone, as people always seem to do these days, come up to him with a cell phone, and they start demanding that he send out a Free Palestine message. And listen to poor Alec. I mean, like, listen, it's tough to feel bad for Alec Baldwin. I got some advice. What somebody once told me is, like, never feel bad for a multimillionaire. Generally, I think that's true. And Alec Baldwin is phenomenally wealthy, and he's been a famous person for a long time. And, you know, you can't climb any higher than he has in Hollywood. So he probably has to deal with a lot of this grief, oftentimes, different places that he might go to. It's not always Free Palestine stuff, but it was today. Listen to this. This is Alec Baldwin. He ends up ending the conversation by, he has a little scuffle, it seems, at the end. I don't know if, it's not unclear if he knocks the cell phone out of the person's hand or if he I don't know what he does to the person, but the video cuts off in pretty short order. But this is what Alec Baldwin was having to endure at a coffee shop.
Alec, can you please stay free Palestine one time? Why did you kill that lady? You killed that lady and got no jail time? No jail time, Alec? No jail time, Alec. You're putting innocent people in jail, Alec Baldwin. Free Palestine, Alec, just one time. And I'll leave you alone. I'll leave you alone. I swear.
Doesn't that sound like a threat? This person, I mean, I don't know who this person is, but they're coming up to Alec Baldwin, holding the phone in his face, calling him a killer, criticizing him. You know, that Rust case that they're referencing is, you know, they're still trying to work that out. And what, you know, I don't know what the outcome of that's going to be, but it's a very, very sad story. I can't say what his involvement in it was. It certainly didn't sound good. But then you have this person saying, all you have to do, Alec, is just say this one thing. Just say these two words and I'll leave you alone. Just say these two words. But if you don't say them, I'm not going to leave you alone. Can you imagine how frustrating that would be? And he's just sitting there trying to like fill up his coffee in this coffee shop.
Just say free Palestine one time. One time. One time. One time, Alec. You know he's a criminal.
You know, he's now saying, he's asking the coffee shop owner, saying, can you please call the police and get this person out of here?
You know he's a criminal. Come on, Alec. Just say free Palestine one time. One time. Just one time. Please. And I'll leave you alone. Free Palestine. Israel. Zionism. Please say it. One time.
And then it appears that he hits the phone out of this person's hand. I don't know what he actually does, but you can't really blame the guy for wanting to knock a phone out of somebody's hand when they're doing something like this. I have a soft spot in my heart for Alec Baldwin. I know that he's done, you know, he's done a lot of stuff that have made a lot of people annoyed and angry. But did you guys see the movie Hunt for Red October? What a fantastic movie. That's the opening song from The Hunt for Red October. And here's a clip of Alec Baldwin as Jack Ryan in that movie.
You wish to add something to our discussion, Dr. Ryan?
Well, sir, I was just thinking that perhaps there's another possibility we might consider. Ramius might be trying to defect.
Do you mean to suggest that this man has
proceed,
come...
Mr. Ryan.
Ramius trained most of their officer corps, which would put him in a position to select men willing to help him. And he's not Russian. He's Lithuanian by birth, raised by his paternal grandfather, a fisherman. And he has no children. No ties to leave behind. And today is the first anniversary of his wife's death.
Oh, come on. You're just an analyst. What can you possibly know what goes on in this mine?
I know Ramius, General. He's nearly a legend in the submarine community. He's been a maverick his entire career. I actually met him once at an embassy dinner. Have you ever met Captain Ramius, General?
No, that general never met Captain Ramius. Played by Sean Connery, actually, the Captain Ramius. Such a good movie. Poor Alec Baldwin. Never feel bad for a multimillionaire, but you watch a video like that, I felt bad for him today. All right, we got a lot more coming up on the show. Stick around. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.